Welcome to episode 32 of Lost in Translation. As you can see, we're not coming to you from the WCTV studios in Wilmington, Mass. We are coming from Case Gymnasium on the campus of Boston University. It is a rainy, gloomy day outside, probably sets the mood for playoffs, which are serious business. We're here, we're joined second time on our show by BU head coach Joe Jones. He's taking a minute before the Terriers get in here to practice. They've got a big playoff matchup on Thursday, the second season. So, Coach, thank you once again for joining us.
I appreciate you guys having me.
So, I think the last time we talked was before the start of the 2022-2023 season. I think it was that preseason, if I remember when you came on the show, because I don't believe it was in season. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe
no, you're
it was
right. We were just talking about that. It was definitely before the. It's like late summer.
Yeah, late summer. It was the old podcast studio. We've renovated all that good stuff. But I feel like maybe that's fitting change for you because you guys had big turnover, which is happening to teams, one, just in the portal age, but two, as those kids that got the extra COVID years, as that all comes to an end and that logjam of bodies, like you have teams that have six, eight, nine seniors that all finally use up their eligibility. So what would you say about the past, you know, from the time we last met before last season up to now? What's that been like?
Yeah, it's been wild. It's been unprecedented. You know, last year, I mean, I'll go back even when Javonte McCoy and Suk Matone stayed for an extra year. You know, that was, it was awesome, but it was weird to have guys that were with you for the extra year. It felt like a fifth year, and I love those guys dealing. They were terrific players, but you could, just going through the general cycle, to have guys that have now been with you for five seasons, it was a lot. Then we did it again with Fletcher Tynan and Jonas Harper and Walter White, and I would do it all over again to have those guys stay again because they were my guys. But what it did was, it set the program back overall just because guys behind them didn't get the experience. You know, so the guys that are seniors right now kind of benefited from the relationships but didn't benefit from the time on the court.
Right, so these guys grow as people.
Exactly.
But they don't grow as players.
Exactly.
And that's tough.
Yeah, and that was the thing that we saw this year. So last year, I think we had eight seniors that left the program, and now we're dealing with the fact that not only are we young, but we're a really inexperienced team. And so we started out slowly and have obviously gained some momentum in the last 4 weeks.
Now, I would think, I mean, for all teams in this age, building, especially mid-major, low-major, whatever you want to call it, is hard because I'm trying to get my thoughts concise here.
Sure.
If you get freshmen if you're going for freshmen, you want them to be good players.
Absolutely.
But if they're too good too soon, I don't think anyone can really hold it against them. They're going to explore their options to go elsewhere. You've seen Northeastern across the city has gotten decimated by having superstar freshmen that suddenly have Power Five offers. And how do you turn that down with NIL and everything? But also, am I correct? The Patriot League doesn't allow red shirts normally. Is that correct?
Correct. There's no red shirts and there's no grad transfers.
There's no grad transfers. So it's got to be one of the hardest conferences in the country to build a roster to compete with, because you really kind of have to bring in freshmen because you can't bring in grad transfers, or you have to bring in great academic transfers. But you need those transfers to be able to play right away. If they're great academic and they can come in and take over day one, they're probably looking at higher level. And then also, if your freshmen are too good too soon, there's a chance of losing them.
Absolutely.
And then also, you can't redshirt kids to develop them, or you can't,
Correct.
So, like, how do you construct a roster in this day and age, in this conference, when you have eight people leave, and now you've got, it's great to have a little scholarship, but how do you build a roster? What do you do?
And going back to my statement, it was really, really hectic this past year, because usually, and you guys know this, the spring you're kind of getting ready for the next group of kids to recruit, right? So if you're at a 23, you're looking at 24s. This year, we were still looking for two high school kids and two transfers in the spring. And that was really, really rough, where we were basically going online every day, 7 days a week, looking at kids that had put their names into the portal. Before you even knew if they had grades or not, right? And then you were going out trying to find some high school guys that you thought could help you as well. So it was a combination of both those things. So you were doing that 7 days a week, plus you were bringing kids on campus for unofficial and official visits, and you're working your own players out, and you're going out recruiting for the next recruiting cycle. So all those things were, it was exhausting. You know, I got to the, and I'm a pretty high energy guy, I got to June and went out recruiting for the next cycle, and I was like, wow, I am tired. I am mentally tired, I'm physically fatigued. And it was just because of all the work that was going in up until that point. And then you get rejuvenated, you're fine. So we were like, so I'll go back to a statement that you made. So this is how difficult it is, because if you look at the landscape of college basketball, to get into BU, you have to at least have a B average to be a college transfer. Then you have to have enough credits in your mate that you could graduate in a 3 year period or a 2 year period.
In a 3 or 2 year period.
Depending on how many years you got. So if you went to a place for one and you wanted to leave, we have to be able to say we can graduate you in 3 years. If you went two, we got to say you. So now you're looking for a guy that's taken the right classes, that can graduate. And then they've got to be, like you said, you want a guy that's good enough to help you win.
And I remember when I transferred as an athlete ages ago, different, but like, you might have done everything right at your last school, have good GPA, everything, but there's no guarantee that your new school is going to take all of you. So it's like you need kids that are basically ahead of where they need to be, not just at where they need to be. So you know if they're going to lose some credits because BU doesn't offer whatever the equivalent of a class is, that, okay, they'll still be able to matriculate in that 3 year or 2 year span.
We had a kid right now on our team that he was already thinking, I'm going to go play at this school. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take these classes because these classes are more admittable to transfer. So he was already thinking that as a friend. Now think about that. Think about that poor coach and that team, right? And so that's how this is right now, is everybody's trying to improve their situation. Now he wanted to get to a better situation academically, a better situation, a higher level basketball, but it was also to try to get to a better situation academically. So that worked out for us, but it is a very challenging thing. And I'll tell you this, I am, and we will be really careful of how we use the portal. It's not something that we're gonna go to all the time, but we have to be strategic in using it to put ourselves in a position where we can be one of the better programs in our league and have a chance to win championships. That's how we will use it, but it's not something that I feel like we will use from year to year. Now, the other thing that I would prefer to do is to keep my older guys and not go out and get a new guy that you gotta coach and teach a whole new system with.
And but, recruit every year.
But hopefully the guys that you retain, well, this will be the end of this COVID thing. So I try to keep my COVID kids because I didn't want to go into the portal and get another guy. So this will be the end of that. But the whole thing is, it's about development and retention. Can you develop your players and then can you retain them? If you can do that, you got a chance to be successful. If you develop guys and they leave, you're in trouble. And if you don't develop them and they stay, you're not in trouble. Mm-hmm. So to me, it's a two-pronged approach. The last prong is the most important one that we kind of hit on the last time we spoke, was what's your relationship like with your players? You know, we talked about that pretty heavily the last time. And so this is who we are. This is the way you would be as a coach. This is the way you are as a coach. You love the game, but you love the connection. You love the teaching part of it. You love to see the development part of it. This is why you do what you do. And hopefully the kids feel that and their parents feel that. And it just makes it a little bit harder to feel like I'm gonna leave a great school like BU on a winning team at a place where I'm loved. by the coaches. If they can leave that, then so be it. But we're going to try to make it hard as heck for a kid to want to leave because they're going to get paid maybe a little money that's not going to last forever. I still think this is a hard program to leave.
Now, this is season number 13 for you here. Is that true?
Yeah, that makes me feel old saying that.
I remember being at the press conference when you were, and I can't believe how much time has gone by.
Yeah, it's flown by.
I would have been like 27 when you were hired. I'm about to be 40.
Joey B was your guy.
Yep, he was. I haven't heard from Joey in years. Joey, if you're alive, I talked to him recently.
Yeah, we're bringing Pat Chambers back.
Really?
We're honoring Pat Chambers this summer, and we're going to honor his championship team. We're going to honor our 2014 regular season championship team, and Joey coached both those teams, so he'll be back.
Wow. So, you know, I guess this kind of ties a lot into it's been a long time for you at BU. A lot of ups, downs.
We
talked about it the last time, getting the NCAA, then it being canceled, all that. But just when you look back on, you know, 13 years ago, who you were when you took the job, what would you, if you could go back and say something to yourself back then, what would you tell yourself when you're coming in here?
Oof, that's a great one. I would say, the thing that I felt like, because I had great respect for Dennis Wolf. Dennis Wolf was like a big time coach to me, because when I got into the league, BU was terrific. He was the guy. Like Billy Harry and Coach, those were the two guys that you were like, wow. You know, because we were just coming around. It was Jay's first year. And obviously, you know, he turned into a terrific leader and coach. But those were the guys that you looked up to. So I had this unbelievable respect for Coach Wolf and the BU program before I got it. So when I got here, I felt a lot of pressure to win.
Right.
And win immediately.
Because, no question.
Yeah. And you're leaving Pat, it took him 2 years to win a championship. Mm-hmm. And then he left. And so we had everybody back except for a major piece in John Holland, but still had a team that could win.
Yeah.
In that first year, so it was hard. I think I put a lot of pressure on myself right away. Probably didn't coach the way that I would now. I look back on that team. That was a team that could have won it. Obviously, in 2014, we got to the championship game. We won the regular season title. But I probably would have been a little more patient with myself. That probably would have allowed me to be a better teacher. I think I put a lot of pressure on myself, and it probably came out in different ways, whether it was during games or during practice, where that tenseness, that tightness, you're not seeing things as clearly as you should be. And probably my delivery and how I express things could have been better, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So now you've got AAU season coming up.
Yep.
Okay, and let the show begin.
Right? Yes, yes.
You mentioned you had freshmen on your team.
Correct.
So I think Sam had mentioned earlier that, and you did too, that if you have freshmen, you're wondering about, you know, if they play well, and all of a sudden, you know, we may be the stepping stone.
Yes, yes, correct.
So how do you walk in with that mentality? Because you need freshmen to continue the program.
No question.
But you also need those seniors or those upperclassmen.
Yes.
Now, I'm guessing that it had to be extremely difficult because you've got fifth-year seniors, you've got your COVID seniors, everybody wants to play well. Almost every single one of them is thinking about continuing basketball.
Correct.
And now you've got freshmen who came to you because they believed that they were going to have a chance to play at a great program.
Oof.
And now, all of a sudden, the team dynamic has changed.
As you know, it always does.
Exactly. Yes. Now the freshmen may not even get along with the seniors because they want their jobs. How do you deal with that dynamic in the season?
Yeah, I'll say this. So first, Bobby, I think it starts way before you pick your guys, right? So I would say this is what the staff has done an unbelievable job really in the last 4 years. We've had very little drama at all because we've chosen the right guys and the right parents.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what, I think you have to really watch out for the parents and their impact on their kids and the people around them. And so we just stay clear. I tell my guys right away, if you hear anything about a parent not not being a good parent in our eyes and what that means, or a kid that's got some sort of issue with his, with behavior, we don't even make another call. I don't care how good he is. We move on quickly. So we've done a really good job of asking the hard questions when you're recruiting them and telling them straight out that we're not gonna support you calling us and complaining, that the kid is gonna have to be able to advocate for himself. And then also that I think people steer clear of this because they want the kid. We talk about how hard it's gonna be.
Okay.
Right? This is gonna be a process. This will not be a 1 year deal where he'll come in and light the world on fire. We sell that so when they come in, they're expecting this to be a little bit harder than it would have been if we didn't do that. Like if you just talk to a kid about how great they're gonna be, and like, then they're gonna be expecting exactly what you're expecting.
Absolutely.
So we just try to be honest now, right? I'll give you an example. So we got four freshmen, two didn't play a ton, but they, like you said, those are the guys that are gonna help you win in the future. So you gotta hang on to those guys. Then we have one freshman that's in the mix, in the rotation, that has played, he started a few games, he was on the all-rookie, he was the rookie of the week one time, and he's had an up and down normal freshman campaign. Year, right. Then we have one freshman that's a starter, that was the all-rookie kid.
Six or seven times or somewhere around there.
Yes.
Is that the kid?
Yes. Yes. And so he had a really good freshman year. Now, we've had other guys that have had comparable years, Walter White, Javonte McCoy, right. The list goes on. But in this day and age, yeah, that's something that we've got to make sure that we're doing all we can so we don't lose a kid like that. So we had the natural gamut of what would happen when you bring in four guys that are all pretty good.
Yeah.
And they're all dealing with that. Now, the other aspect of what you were talking about is that now I'm lucky, Miles Brewster, we don't have any fifth year seniors, but Miles Brewster is our lone captain right now. Miles Brewster went through the normal progression of a player. First year, we had a really good team. It was COVID though. Next year, just too weak, not really ready, but got into the mix because he played hard and he was our ninth man. The next year, he started most of the year, role player, but great energy. And now he's arguably one of our best players. He's a second team all-league player. He made the all-defensive team. And that's the normal progression for a kid. And so that's what you have to be telling kids when they're coming in. And you gotta hope that they understand. And we also have to tell them like other people are gonna tell you something different. Now, if you light the world on fire, you're ready to go right away. Okay, you could be Kai Alexander. But there's also this scenario that most of the guys that have become great, Max Mahoney, Javonte McCoy, Soup Matone, all those guys became great in their juniors and senior years. Most of those guys were not they weren't all world right away. Walter White hit the ground running from day one. But most of our guys haven't even been on the all rookie team that became really good players because I think we do a really good job at developing our guys.
What would you say about this season? I know young team, ups and downs, and you got a home playoff game, home tournament game, but rebuilding year. Just what would you say about the season, and is it tougher when you get to your 13th year to have that kind of grind, or is it easier because you've been through the wars?
No, man. Listen, I'm in year 13, brother. You're looking around going, we got to get this going. Listen, let's just be honest. Like, no one's going to keep you around because you're a good guy.
Right.
You better win some freaking games. So let's call it what it is, right? So, but I'm older. I can put that in a place.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so I could put that into place. 10 years ago, 13 years ago, I would have had a harder time dealing with expectations. And
right.
Now you're, okay, we got a good team. We got to go through it. You know what it is. You know what it looks like. You know it's going to be hard.
Yeah.
But definitely in the back of your mind, you're saying, okay, we got to turn the corner, though. This is all fine and good. We got to turn the corner. So this year was a tough year. I knew it was going to be a tough year. But I also knew that if they could get some experience, we had a chance to turn the corner. And so we went from where we were to now we're the second seed with starting a freshman and two sophomores, a junior and a senior, and we could have everybody back next year.
But, you know, that's a tribute to the buy-in, I mean, and the work that you're doing. I'm sure there are a lot of sleepless nights, and you're figuring out how to get this started.
No, listen, no question.
How do I bring these freshmen along?
No question.
So do you feel like, I know a lot of it comes down to what happens over the next 2 weeks, but do you feel like the regular season, knowing the hurdles you had, knowing the eight people out, new guys, do you feel like it was, given the starting point and the obstacles, do you feel like it was a successful regular season?
Oh, God, yes. Oh, my good. Oh, absolutely. Listen, we're the second seed.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. I don't. Sometimes you just can't always be looking at the numbers. You got to look at the development of the team. Like, look where we were and what we become. We just won two overtime games in a game down the stretch. We've beaten teams by the second time around. We've only lost to two teams in our league.
I'm just going over because every coach's mindset is different and how they look at things. Yeah. Like not your predecessor, but the guy who you talked about, who I want to ask, you know, another question. But like Dennis Wolfe, when he was here, if I asked him that question, he would have just given me the stone cold stare into my soul.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that a successful season? Bill Herrien, who you looked up to when you came in, Bill might have just choked me out right here if I asked that question.
Yeah, yeah,
so every coach has a little different perspective on these things.
Yeah.
Something I want to ask, because I don't know if it's a pro, a con, an obstacle, or whatever. Social media is something that I think a lot of coaches go, we have to tolerate it and try to use it to the best of our ability. But all things being equal, we maybe would prefer that it wasn't out there the way things go viral and blow up and all that sort of
thing.
You have a guy on your team that has gone viral in a way that no BU player ever has before. And in a way that, no disrespect to him, good player, is not reflective of his numbers. And he's a good player.
No.
But
it's got
like
nothing to do with
John
that.
Holland never went viral like that.
Yeah.
Matt Turner never went. Like, there wasn't going viral back then.
Yeah.
But no BU player has ever blown up the way that Otto did.
Yep.
And there's been some moments. Stane Doan's buzzer beater here in the tournament in 2002, craziest moment ever. But like, this is the most viral moment in BU history. It's got millions of views, this mixtape on him. He's on podcasts, he's on everything. And he's a key piece for you.
Correct.
How do you handle that and navigate that? Because when that happens, it could get to a kid's head. It could get, you know, it can go any number of ways that are totally out of your control. How do you deal with that?
Yeah, I will say this. I think Otto deserves a ton of credit for how he has handled this, because it has not been easy. He goes on the road and it's like, you know, we got Michael Jordan coming out. I mean, he's got fans coming to away games. I mean, it's little kids waiting for him after games. It's really cool to see. He has kept things pretty good in pretty good perspective. So what we did was, because none of us have gone through this before, so it's like unprecedented in how you handle this. We've never handled this before. But what I did was I met with him to get a feel for how it was impacting him. And then he ended up, I don't know what you would call it, but he has a company now that oversees all his stuff. So we got on a call with them and I had them kind of explain to me, okay, how much you are you interacting with him? How often are you interacting with him? What are you guys saying? What, and then trying to just set it up that it's less, as least invasive as it could be.
Right.
So we tried to say, okay, he's got three or four things in the works for some deals. He needs to be able to do some videos. Okay, let's use it one day, come out, do the videos in one day, and then we don't need to have any more interaction with him for any more deals until the season's over. And then we're only going to contact him once a week. So it was, we try to just get rid of all the fat and the daily interactions and try to kind of get really more specific in how they were going to interact with him. And they were great with it. And it's so fun. It's an undergrad that owns this company that he has joined. And they've been great. They understand where he's coming from. They've been great. And he's handled it really well. But I was really concerned and nervous about how this was going to impact him. And I think at some point it was, and when it first started, I think it was just the amount of attention was kind of a difficult thing to handle. And then you got the people trolling and different that. So I was talking to him too about how often are you going on and reading the things that they're saying. And I think he has put that to bed too. So I think he's done a pretty good job of staying focused.
Well, this would be the same process with any NIL deal, or like if you get a kid who's that popular, wants to come to BU, now all of a sudden, you know, the world's looking at him. I mean, I think the way you spoke to Otto is probably the same process you're gonna have with anyone. How much is whoever's given the sponsorship, you know, involved with the player? You know, when can you do this? So you have, you know, some type of rein on
Mind. Exactly. You've got to be able to first see how the kid is being impacted by this.
Right.
So then you could get a feel for how you need to proceed. Like, I just didn't want to go in and be like, okay, you can only do this, this, and this, because you really have no idea, like, what their world is. Like, I wanted to ask him, like, all right, how often are you on your phone looking at these things? You know, how is this something that's on your mind? Are you trying to get more deals? Like, I just wanted to get a feel for where he was at before I could understand how to help him. And that's what we wanted to do. We just wanted to assist him and trying to continue to make some money and still be a great student athlete.
So, Coach, I know that time is limited. I know we'd like to get Curtis on here if we can.
Yeah, you will. Come back. You'll get my man on. I'm glad you're having him on.
I want to ask you before we go, because it is playoff season, what are the keys to Thursday night's game for you guys?
I'll say this, Bobby, and you played in some games like this, and Sam, you did too, I'm sure. All right, this is a young team. This is the first time that some of these guys are going to be playing in a playoff game or playing a role that they've never played in before.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people will say, okay, we just got to approach it like it's another game. I just think
we can't.
That's foolish.
It's not another game.
It's not. And so everything's on the line. So yesterday what we did was we talked about that. We talked about, hey, everything's on the line. We know that we're playing to fulfill a childhood dream, something that we've all thought about. Let's not discount that. Let's kind of lean into that. And then let's think about how that's going to feel. Right? So close your eyes. How's that going to feel when you're out there in a playoff atmosphere with that level of tension? And can you lean into that and then put that in a place where you could still be the best player you're going to be, because there are going to be some tense moments. So let's not. So then when those moments come, when the team goes on a 6-0 run and I got to call timeout, I can say to them, hey guys, we talked about this. You guys are ready for this moment, right? You know this is basketball. Let's just get out there now and do what we do well. Let's get ourselves refocused. So I know I'm probably going to have to refocus this group because it's a real inexperienced group, and they need to be refocused all the time anyway. Like, if you watch one of my games, we'll be up 18. It'll go to 6 like that. And so it's just because the lack of experience. And so I always have to be ready to call some timeouts to settle them down. Mm-hmm. And usually they're able to regroup. It's a really tough-minded team. It's a tough team. It's an unselfish team. And it's a talented team. When you have those kind of ingredients, when you're selfless, great things can happen. So I expect us to have a great run. But it will not be easy.
Well, you know, you have freshmen who are talented, and isn't all the kids are always saying, you know, what's the phrase? You don't want this smoke? This is the smoke you want. You said you wanted this.
There you go.
Thank you for joining.
But I do think you have to kind of prepare them. Mm-hmm. I think I did a real disservice in 2014. We had blown out Lafayette. We beat Army by double figures, and we were just playing at such an emotional high. Then we were getting ready for American, who was gonna play Princeton style the whole bit, and my naive butt was like, oh, we're about to rip them. And our players were all like that, and not really thinking about how that game was gonna be played. Like, yo, the game's probably gonna be played in the 60s, and we were just right from the start of the game, we were not prepared for the moment. And it was on me. It was on me. So, you know, you learn from that, you go into 2020, and you're able to articulate the things that you know are coming.
Right.
Your guys settle in, and we played great basketball. And that's what I expect us to do. I know we're a young team, but I expect that to happen for us.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Coach. Buddy. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks again.
We'll be back in a minute with assistant coach. His assistant? Is it associate?
What is it? Assistant, Kurt. He's the long.
Coach Kurt is the longest tenured assistant on the staff.
And in the Patriot League by far.
Wow.
And the coolest guy on the sideline.
Yeah.
Listen.
Every summer.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Coach.
All right, buddy. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate you.
You got it. Great questions.